The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ahlan, ya Omar.
Hi,
Marakam. Ahlan. Hi, Adam. We're Yasmin in New York.
Tamam.
Okay. Would you rather we not use your last name?
عمر تفضل ما نستخدمش اسم يعني لقب العيلة.
لا ما عندي مشكلة.
He's okay using the last name.
Okay, so Omar Daoud.
You're listening to the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. This hour we're going to dive into the problem, well, the catastrophe that's now unfolding in Syria. We'll start in Aleppo, where so much of the horror has been taking place. The New Yorker's Adam Davidson talked with a man named Omar Daoud, who used to work in a paint store, but now works with a group that helps injured survivors of the conflict.
Yeah. Here in America, we hear a lot about Aleppo, but it's very hard for me, and I think for a lot of people here, just to picture what it's like. Where do you live right now? And tell me what is going on near your house right now.
I live in the eastern side of Aleppo that's under siege in the district is called Al-Mashhad. Because of the airstrikes, both the Russian airstrikes and the Assad regime's airstrikes, you can't find a whole building in Halab. All of them are at least partially destroyed. I live on the first floor of the building, but generally across Halab, people tend to only live on the first or the second floor of buildings to avoid airstrikes. We used to live in another district entirely, Salah al-Din, but now it's completely destroyed. So you could say that we're all immigrants from one district to the next. We keep on moving, so we couldn't take a lot of our furniture with us.
I want to know about daily life. Can you tell me what you've eaten? What did you eat today? What did you eat yesterday? And how did you get the food?
With the siege, it's very hard to find most of the basic necessities. Supermarkets are closed. You can't find milk anywhere. There are very few things left, only rice, lentils, and chickpeas. And a lot of this is just, it's the food that's sent with from aid. Usually to get food, there are local councils, and you just go, and each family has a quota. That's how they get their rations of food. And then people just, they go to work, we walk, there's no longer any transportation. As to the water, we get it all from wells, but most families worry that the wells may be contaminated.
So what did you eat today?
Rice and chickpeas.
Wow. It's not enough.
That's all we've got.
If stores aren't open, if restaurants aren't open, do you use money? Do you carry money with you?
No, all the shops are completely empty. There is no point in carrying any money. It's completely worthless.
Wow. Money is not part of your life.
Yes, never, yeah.
Are schools open?
Since Russia began the airstrikes, schools have just, they've completely stopped. There's absolutely no playgrounds. There's some playgrounds underground, which are like refuge sort of spots that have become playgrounds, but usually they're very humid, so just people prefer to stay at home. Russia's been using new weapons and different rockets, which completely destroy the buildings. They even destroyed the underground basements where you used to have the schools. Even just 2 days ago, one of the schools that were still operating, it was hit by an airstrike and 16 children died.
How old are your kids?
My daughter, Seba, she's 10. Reda is 6 and Mustafa is 2.
So they just stay at home all day? They don't go out?
It's very hard for me to guarantee their safety outside, so they never leave. Like, even sometimes, if they want to go see their grandparents, I would have to take them myself. They live right next door, but I would take them myself.
Gotcha. Do you have any moments at all where you can have something of a normal life, you know, smoke some shisha or sit and talk or play? Do you laugh at all?
We do try to escape. It's very hard. Usually we can't. But sometimes when the airstrikes are less frequent, we do have a chance to just sit together and just joke and laugh, and I could just get to play with the kids. But it's impossible to go outside. That's absolutely impossible.
Hello. Ahlan, ya Omar. Hi, Adam in New York.
Omar, ana Yasmin wa Adam معك سمعنا.
So, Omar, you and I spoke a week ago, and Yasmin told me that since then you had some things happen. Can you tell us what happened yesterday?
تمام امبارح الساعة 3 العصر.
We were at work as usual, and then around 3 p.m. we got a notification on our phone. We have an app called Zelo that's connected to volunteer watchtowers around the area. And then 15 minutes later, we heard an airplane fly by, and a rocket fell on our building. The top three floor were completely destroyed, and some of the nearby buildings. The windows were also completely destroyed. And then we all ran outside, and only then had we realized it was our building that got hit.
Was anyone hurt?
And only one child who was just passing by the street, he died.
Just to hear that one child dying means it's not such a bad experience is... It's hard to hear.
It's become a daily thing. It's very repetitive.
To see death.
Yeah.
But your kids were not there? They were at home?
Yes, they were home. They were all home.
Was yesterday the closest you've been to, do you think, to dying in an airstrike? Was yesterday the worst?
No, it's not the... I felt closer to death before. A year and a half ago, I was going to the Aleppo countryside with a few colleagues to pick up assistance and medicine for our organization. And the route we were taking was being bombed at the same time. There were 4 helicopters throwing barrel bombs. It felt like wherever we go, we can't escape. It felt like the helicopters were following us. We were surprised that none of us got hurt. It was just 4 hours of absolute terror. I've felt close to death many times. If anything, I feel like I've lived more years than I was meant to. I should have died 6 years ago when the regime was just killing us with bullets while we were protesting. Now it just feels like I've outlived my own life.
Have you thought about leaving?
I never did and I never will. I was born here and I'll die here. You might think I'm exaggerating, but when the revolution happened in 2011, I swore to my friends that I would never betray those who died, and I don't feel like I could. It's our land, it's our houses, it's our homes. My wife completely agreed. We talked about it, and she thinks the same. That said, I do think of my kids and my wife, and I do think of trying to get my family to leave, but I would stay. To be honest, after the world has given up on us and humanity shown its true colors, not just to the people of Aleppo, but to Syrians everywhere, we feel that death is everywhere. If we continue to live this way, we'd most likely die, whether by an airstrike or of starvation.
Your six-year-old has only known this life. Your 10-year-old maybe remembers a little bit before, but probably not much. Do you try and explain to them what life is like outside of a war?
We do talk about what life was like before the war. For example, when we're watching TV and a picture of an ocean or a sea comes up, they usually ask me, "What is this, Dad? What's that sink or basin-looking thing with water in it?" There are a lot of things that they don't know. So I talked to them a lot about how life was in Syria before and how that one day after the war is over, I would take them to the sea and we would go and take walks around the streets. I try to give them hope so that they wouldn't just give up completely on the future.
Omar Daoud in Aleppo, talking with Adam Davidson, with Yasmin Al-Sayad translating.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.